So I mentioned that today is the Tirubhav, the disappearance day of our beloved and senior godbrother and dearmost servitor, friend, follower, slave of Srila Bhaktisandha Govindadeva Goswami Maharaj, and I mean Sri Bhakti Premik Siddhanti Maharaj, who was also known for many years as Chidananda Prabhu, and who was a dear disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He was there from the beginning. Actually, some of the leaders of ISKCON, before they joined, he was the temple president in San Francisco. Think of that. Tamal Krishna Maharaj being one of them. Vishnu Janaswami and Tamal Krishna Maharaj were roommates when Chidananda was the president of the San Francisco temple and they were visiting there. So he's one of the original devotees. The original Hare Krishna devotees. Hare Krishna. I'm just thinking of all the things he said. I wish I could repeat them. But some of them, no, I'm just teasing. But he was very sweet and affectionate to everyone. They would call him uncle, the devotees. Because he was like your affectionate uncle, really. That was one of his specialties that reveals something about his personality. He's always concerned about the other devotees. And what someone could say what's the term? Rank, I don't like to say rank and file, but like that. In other words, there's the entourage and those with important positions and management and all that. He was the person who looked out for the lesser known and would make sure that they would get some opportunity to spend some time with Srila Gurudev at his darshan and things like that. Whereas, say, his inner circle or longtime known servitors, they, were gluttonous in a sense, they couldn't get enough of Gurudev's association. And that's understandable, and I'm also guilty of that, happily so. But that sometimes made him unhappy, not for our good fortune, but he thought of all the others and would arrange to bring them to see Gurudev. Even sometimes, against the management, you could say, because they're trying to, they would say, to defend their position, they're trying to protect Gurudev's health, his energy, etc. But Siddhanti Maharaj, he's thinking, this is a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-million-lifetime opportunity. Right? Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Latabi. You don't get this everywhere. Wandering the length and breadth of the universe, millions of lifetimes to meet such a soul, he's going to make sure they get their chance. And we could, parade a whole group of fortunate souls like that who could verify that what I'm saying is true. That it was because of Siddhanti Maharaj, or Chidananda, as he was known for so long, that they got to have the darshan of Srila Gurudev. And Kesavananda Prabhu is reminding me of this song of Narottam Thakur, a very beautiful song, as all are his songs, but whichever one you're focused on seems to be the most beautiful one. But A Baro Koruna Koro Vaishnava Goshai. He's saying you're just, merciful to the extreme. And I remember once, Sarvabhavana Prabhu, the Bengali, we were with Srila Guru Maharaj, and this was before everybody had cameras and all of that. And of course, there was no internet and none of these things. So later, I actually brought some qualified photographers, the photograph groomers, but then, you know, someone with a little camera, take a picture. And so I was saying, like, while I'm talking to groomers, you can take a couple of, you know, yeah. And groomers was like what they call legally blind, even though he had like glasses and could see some shapes or something. He even joked about it. You see those glasses, groomers would like say, here's with the glasses, without the glasses, no difference. And the glasses, like, he never updated his prescription. So he can just hear like little clicking, camera clicking. And he's, while he's talking, he said, what is that? And I said, oh, Sarvabhavana Prabhu was taking some pictures, some photographs. And Gurumar said, a waste of energy. So you can imagine what he'd think about like selfie culture. He said that, a waste of energy. You know, and but Sarvabhavana Prabhu is a very beautiful devotee and very sweet. And so he's like gonna delightfully, argue another point with Guru Maharaj. And he said, well, Maharaj, if we were taking pictures of some mundane person, it might be a waste of energy. But in as much as it's for you, you know, he's like speaking like that. We're just trying to find any excuse whatsoever. We're just thinking of things to say to get Guru Maharaj to like either say it's all right or just ignore it. Mainly we wanted him not to know, you know. But so I said, and I remember this song, maybe you know the line, but I said, in the song, E Baru Karuna Koro Vaishnava Goshai, there's the one that says, Ganga Parasha. Anyway, he's saying, it says that by bathing in the Ganga repeatedly, you can become purified. But just once bathing in the glance of the Vaishnava, you get that effect. Once being seen by the Vaishnava, the compassionate eyes of that person who possesses Krishna Prem, if they just glance upon you, he's saying it's more purifying than repeatedly bathing in the Ganga. Narottam Thakur is talking about this sort of mercy. And what I mean by saying this, oh, and by the way, when I said that, at the time, I remembered those lines, but E Baru Karuna Koro Vaishnava Gosai, then Guru Maharaj sang the entire song, each line, and we all forgot everything. That was beautiful. We forgot everything, I mean the things that don't need to be remembered. They all went away. Guru Maharaj sang that song and we all became filled with joy. And it didn't matter what happened before that. We couldn't even recall. We're just happy to be in his presence. And this is something Siddhanti Maharaj knew about Srila Gurudev, that if I just bring people into his presence, that glance, his compassionate glance, who's full of Krishna Prem and Gaur Prem and Guru Prem, that he'll bathe the darshanis, the audience, he'll bathe them in that merciful glance and they'll become benefited from that. And actually, this is mentioned at different places when Mahaprabhu goes on tour of South India. Whoever he would see, they'll become infused with Krishna Prem. But it's also mentioned about the devotees of Mahaprabhu, that they had this power to glance upon someone, make eye contact them, and fill them with Krishna Prem. So Siddhanti Maharaj was very merciful in that way, always bringing others in connection with Gurudev, Prabhupada. When I first joined, then May of 1971, immediately I heard about him. Before I was even initiated, they said, there is this devotee named Chidananda who Prabhupada said is a pure devotee. And I thought, like, wow. And there were stories about him. He'd been in, for health purpose, whatever, he was in some restricted situations, and he had these little tiny Radha Krishna deities. He carried them with him his whole life. It was like that big. He said Prabhupada gave them to him, and he would worship them. And so I always like look forward to meeting him, because he was legendary when I joined, you know, in 1971. That means he'd been around for a few years before. And he once told me, very in his simple-hearted way of expressing things, that when he met Prabhupada, and I thought about this in retrospect, many people would tell about some, you know, what, how their life was going up to that moment, and then some transformational thing took place, or the first time they saw Prabhupada, some, you know, epiphany and ecstatic experience took place. And Siddhanta Maharaj said, with his characteristic humility, simplicity, and understatement, he said, he looked like he could use some help. And I went, what? He said, it looked like he needed some help. So I volunteered. Wow. He sees the Shaktivesh avatar, you know, who's going to spread Krishna consciousness. He said, he looks like he needs some help. So I volunteered. Like, he had a car. He would drive Prabhupada around shopping, take him to the park. And by doing this, he was, in other words, his immediate reaction to Prabhupada was actually the reaction you're supposed to have in connection with a Mahabhagavata, is to offer yourself in service. And that's what he did. He wasn't thinking how he would benefit from Prabhupada's association or connection, but rather he was thinking, like, I just want to help him. He seems like a worthy person to help. And what a pure-hearted gesture. And actually, that is his relationship throughout. And that is really his relationship with Srila Gurudev. He's always offering himself to help. When he was sick in the final times, Gurudev was actually here in Thailand, in Bangkok. And I had the opportunity one day to have lunch with him. And he, you know, I'd been with him in Mauritius, where it was apparent that Siddhanta Maharaj was very ill, and Gurudev had sent him for treatment. But during that meeting with Gurudev in Bangkok, he said to me, he said, Maharaj, he said, I cannot understand his devotion. But he meant that, like, in a good way, like, it's so overwhelming, I mean, I can't fathom it. He said, still in this condition, how he's serving me, even from there, sending funds every month and doing all the things that he would normally do. He didn't allow his personal condition, as it was worsening, to affect his service. The service didn't diminish. And I've mentioned this before, but after the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, I heard these tapes of Guru Maharaj, of two meetings he had with the GBC that was shared with me, and I copied them. And when I heard these tapes, although it was a few months after the disappearance of Prabhupada, as soon as I heard Guru Maharaj's voice, I thought, this is unmistakably, undeniably the voice of Sri Guru, my Guru. This is a very peculiar experience. Prabhupada left the world 3 months ago, and now, and so I'm experiencing what Guru Maharaj calls about, you know, this current and connecting thread. And if you read Sri Guru and His Grace, these things are dealt with in great detail there, but it's real. And so this was personally life-saving for me, spiritual life-saving and nourishing and invigorating. But shortly thereafter, when I was transferred to Los Angeles, and the way things were, I needed to go consult with him personally. So although I'd met him by then one time, one morning, when this Bhakti Abhay Narayan Maharaj and I, the Hungarian sannyasi, we snuck out during Mangal Arati. I was saying, don't try this at home. But we like left and went across the river and to the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat and to meet Babaji Maharaj, but he took us upstairs to meet Guru Maharaj. And so after that, I said to Narayan Maharaj, I said, and so we weren't there at the Bhagavatam class either. And I said, after hearing Guru Maharaj, I said, that was the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like meaning what we heard, and he's the Bhagavatam personified. So there's no fault on our part. But anyway, so then I made tapes of Guru Maharaj. I'm not going to explain all of that now. But there, as I started like distributing these tapes, there were some people who wanted to get like the set. I had around 18 tapes by then. And I got this letter in the mail. You know, it was from Chidananda Das Brahmachari, you know, from Santa Cruz. And so I went to my friends at Bhaktivedanta tape ministry, and they had a high-speed duplicator and like duped the tapes, sent them to Siddhanti Maharaj. So within a year, I left there and I went to take permanent shelter at the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj. After a certain amount of time, like Guru Maharaj, when he found out my intention was to, he said, like to stay with him and make recordings of him. And he said, as your life's engagement. And I was saying like, yes. And he said, I tried to collect the maximum from my Guru Maharaj, and I did. He said, but my tendency for distribution was not so great. What you should do, you should hear from me and then distribute that, and then come and hear from me and distribute. That will be better for you. And within a short time, I had this realization that I should go return to America and begin preaching about Srila Sridhar Maharaj unfiltered, unrestrained, whatever other un-words there are, you know, unrestricted, like that. And so together with Brahma Prabhu, we found this place in San Jose and started there. And first phone call I got was from Jagadananda Prabhu, whose youngest son is coming here tomorrow. Second phone call was from Chidananda Prabhu in Santa Cruz. And he is listening to all these tapes, and he wants to go to the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat in Navadvip. And Brahma and I went to Santa Cruz, and we met him in this place. Forget the name of some place where they have like a sitar player, and it's a tea house or something. And the lights were out for a week, so there were only candles and stuff. And we're like showing how to go to the Navadvip train station, and then when you get there, tell the rickshaw wallas, you know, Koler Danga Mat. That's how it was known in those days by rickshaw wallas, the mat that's in Koler Danga. And gave him all that information, and he went there and met with Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev. And immediately also Srila Gurudev sort of took him under his wing. And many things happened. He would come to back to America with news from the Mahat going, coming. But around the time we made Golden Volcano of Divine Love, he was staying in Puri. And I thought to myself, like, if I can just present this book, we did Search for Sri Krishna, Reality of the Beautiful, Sri Guru and His Grace. I thought, I mean, if I can offer this book to Guru Maharaj, then I can die. Then I'll be okay. Just if we can give this, which he later told me of the books we published was his favorite. And so when we presented it to him, Guru Maharaj said, he revealed that before settling upon Navadvip as his final place, that he contemplated first Uddhav Kyari in Vrindavan, which is where Radharani Brahmar Gita, her mad talks, Prajalpa with the bumblebee. And Guru Maharaj saying, but I'm saying Vrindavan, that is for the highest section of liberated souls. So then he stayed the month of Kartik, but he came to that realization. Then we know he settled upon Navadvip, but the next place he considered was the Gangbir, being near there, and of Mahaprabhu's last 12 years, particularly in Puri. But for more, 16, 18, 24. And we're in, just to show a connecting thread, Uddhav Kyari, Brahmar Gita, Gangbir, Brahmar Gita. So the Brahmar Gita is a connecting thread between these two places. But Guru Maharaj said, Chidananda Prabhu has just written me one letter saying, like, the Seva Puja is changing, about to change hands. So it may be available. So he asked that I and another devotee go there, because he was so overjoyed receiving Golden Volcano of Divine Love, and he took it as like a divine indication. He said, you should go there immediately and see if you can get that transferred to like him and the Chaitanya Sarasvat Mahat. And Guru Maharaj said, and if you can do that, when there'll be like an inauguration, he said, I will come there personally. And up to this point, Guru Maharaj, you know, he lives above at the Chaitanya Sarasvat Mahat on his veranda. He's coming down like 3 or 4 times a year. Gaur Purnima, Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, his own Vyas Puja, Radhastami. 4 or 5, that's it, you know, throughout the year. And Guru Maharaj can see that I'm, he says, he will go to Puri. If we can get this, that he'll come for the inauguration of the Seva Puja. And he sees, I'm like, I'm shocked. I'm in a state of shock. I'm saying, he can hardly go down the stairs. And Guru Maharaj knows what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, how will he sustain the journey? But I don't want to say anything. And Guru Maharaj looks at me and he says, and if I die on the way, at least I will have died going in the right direction. But that, just to show, that was triggered by a letter from Chidananda Prabhu, Siddhanti Maharaj. So, many pastimes, yeah, there at the Mahat, and particularly later with Srila Gurudev, that he showed a type of unparalleled devotion, Guru Bhakti, towards Srila Govinda Maharaj. Keshavananda, you may know, and well, we know Uma knows what it is to stay in Govardhan in the hottest time of the year. Just India in general, then Vrindavan, ratcheted up, you know, Govardhan. Because we say, Vrindavan hoite shrestha, Govardhan ashrama. Govardhan pastimes are superior. means it's even hotter there. So it is so hot there, and there is this, you know that wind that comes? Do you know the name? It has a name. There's this wind that can kill you. So you see everyone wears something like this as like a filter. And the wise don't go outside when those winds kick up, because the dust, because all the devotees were choking and coughing. And Gurudev was saying, but you prayed for the dust. You were saying, if I can just have some of that divine dust, how fortunate I would be. And now you're all, you got your wish fulfilled and you're all crying and coughing. But anyway, in that time, when it's so hot, it's unbearably hot, and the rooms are sometimes like ovens because of the way they're constructed. So knowing that Srila Govinda Maharaj was in a room and would be inconvenienced or have to suffer this, Siddhanti Maharaj would go on the roof in a gamsha and just pour one bucket after another of cold water on the rooftop to bring the temperature down a little bit, just to make the room. So he's in the blazing sun, right? And this is not, you know, an Indian person of dark skin. This is someone from, you know, America, right? A Caucasian man. He's out in the blazing hot sun, pouring water on the rooftop to bring the temperature down a few degrees to make it more comfortable for Srila Govinda Maharaj. That's one example, and there are numerous. So it led Srila Gurudev to observe about him that he said, well, I want to preface this by saying there's a section in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, where he's talking about how you can gradually overcome the influence of the material modes of nature, you know, and how one must do this also. And when you read this, I can just say from my point of view, you can kind of like, oh, kabe habe bolo se din amar, like, oh, this is not going to happen, or how many lifetimes will it take, and this, we're, you know, devi hiye shugunamai mama maya durataya, we're drowning in an ocean of misconception, and how, but that's the first half of the sloka, and then it says, but, and said, etat sarvam guru bhaktya, Purusha Hyanjaso Jayet. Saying, but if you have devotion to Guru, Guru Bhakti, then you get everything. So it just said, here's this gradual process by which you can over, you know, by being a serious practitioner and dedicating your life's energy to, energy. But I would. To, you know, the spiritual process, you can gradually achieve this. But then it says, etat sarvam guru bhakti, but you get everything through guru bhakti, through devotion to guru. And that's what we think that we observed in him, that by this guru bhakti, particularly towards the lotus feet of Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj, he seemed to get everything. And Gurudev verified this sort of thing by saying, he said, if my disciples will take the dust from his feet upon their heads, they will get devotion to Sri Guru. They'll get Guru Bhakti by taking the dust from his feet. That's Srila Govinda Maharaj said. I never heard him say that about anyone except him. Not to dismiss others, but he said this specifically about him. And he has many devoted servitors, and he's offered wonderful praise to them. But he gave some special recognition to the devotion of Srila Bhakti Premik Siddhanti Maharaj. And I was just reading in Charitamritam, Mahaprabhu, the Bedanam Kirtan, and how he's, this is just before Ratiyatra. Soon will be Gundicha and then Ratiyatra, but the type of dancing he's showing. Because in Ratiyatra he also shows the Udanda Nritya, Tandava Nritya, and Madhura Nritya. Nritya means dancing. So Madhura Nritya, that means the sweet swaying dancing. It depends on what he's expressing from his heart, mirroring the sentiments of Srimati Radharani. Sometimes very sweet dancing. Tandava Nritya, the other extreme, like Nataraj, Shiva. Tandava, it means dance of, you know, wild dance of like oblivion, destruction, right? Not caring for anything, just madly, wildly dancing, that sort of intensity. But there's another one, the Udanda Nritya, means leaping up very high and coming down. That's like a danda. Like if a snake went up in there and comes down again and goes up and down, and maybe up and spinning around a little and coming down like that. Different, these dance are described. But this Udanda Nritya was the favorite of Siddhanti Maharaj. And he is rather tall to begin with. And he would play his kartals. There's like 1, 2, 3, and he kind of did 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, like something, you know, like very intense. He could do like a Hari Bol kirtan for an hour. And one of the last times I remember, we were together in Russia on Janmashtami, where every year we would be in Lakta at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru Gauranga, Radha Madhava Sundarju. And, you know, like midnight would come. And by that time, we've already been in the temple, we've preached, said songs, you know. I would be like, go back to the room, take a little prasadam. But I'd hear like outside, it's midnight or later, I'd hear this like raucous kirtan going on, and I look outside the window, and you see all these relatively young Russian boys and girls singing and dancing, and in the center is Siddhanti Maharaj, and he's doing the Udanda Nritya, leaping high and coming down again, and he's twice as old as everybody there. And because the next day, after Janmashtami, is Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, Nandotsav. It's also Prabhupada's appearance day. No accident there. And so we would get to the next day, offer some praise of Srila Prabhupada. And it was really a privilege to sit beside him. He's always deferential to me. But really, he's my senior godbrother, and how beloved a disciple of Srila Prabhupada is. Only Prabhupada could really, truly express that, but it's a privilege to be with him. And he said, he told me and everyone there of the time where Gurudev had celebrated Janmashtami and Prabhupada's appearance day in, I believe he said, Hungary. And he said, this, he said, came from Gurudev, that on Janmashtami, the day after, in Goloka Vrindavan, where they're also having some version or Gokula, however you want to take it, everyone's bringing so many gifts to Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda, Nandarani, Yashoda, and that are appropriate, like for the newborn baby Krishna, and there are beings. And he said, but Krishna conveys to everyone, like, I have so accumulated so much wealth, I need someone to distribute this to everyone. It's the will of Krishna that that wealth be distributed. And he's saying, then a cowherd boy from the volunteers, mainly Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to descend in this world and distribute that wealth. And what does he say? He looked like he could use some help. That's the person he decided to help, who would distribute the wealth of Krishna consciousness to the world, thereby fulfilling Mahaprabhu's prediction and wishes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saraswati Thakur, all of our Guru Varga. He is an intimate associate of Srila Prabhupada and always bringing others in connection with that wealth. So, and 2009, Srila Avadhut Maharaj and myself, it was actually, we went to Albuquerque, New Mexico to see Full Dome. You might have heard about it. And after that, we went to Soquel, like as a surprise visit to Sripad Siddhanti Maharaj. Because Gurudev had told me in Bangkok, he said, you know, I'm thinking to go to America again. I want to see Siddhanti Maharaj. But Gurudev was also very ill at that time. Think about it. It's around October of 2009. But so Avadhut Maharaj and I, we went there, and I got some opportunity to, he would never agree to this if he knew this was going to happen, but in the temple room, to say some praise of, at the end of a talk, he was cornered, he was captured. Siddhanti Maharaj was there, you know, he tolerated it. But as I went to say goodbye to him, I was like embracing him. My eyes were, you know, full of tears, but Siddhanti Maharaj was comforting me. He was comforting me. And he said, Gurudev couldn't come, so he sent you. So he was being, as always, generous and compassionate to me. And what you said earlier, Keshavananda Prabhu mentioned to me with regard to that song, A Baro Korono Koro Vaishnava Goshai. When we hear these songs, and rightfully so, we think of the great devotees. Like when we do the Prema Dvani, and we're, and that's why I'm doing this at the beginning of my talk and at the end, because I want to remember them before I begin speaking. That's why. I'm invoking their blessings, because they are the personification of what we see in the songs of Narottam Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the scriptures. Bhavad Bidha Bhagavatas Tirthabhuti Swayambhivo Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Svantakstena Gadavrita, says in the Bhagavatam. Maybe Narada, or about Narada, and they're saying, devotees like you are holy places personified. Where you go, that becomes a holy place. That's why Siddhanti Maharaj is so revered, Soquel, and Lakta. We saw Gurudev made Lakta a holy place. There's this legend, you know, the legend of Lakta is that there's a hidden treasure there. And so sometimes you'd see these people with metal detectors. Looks like a minesweeper. It's a stick, with, you know, and then they dig up that area and they find the gold earring or something. But there was a legend that there was like some really valuable hidden treasure in the soil of Lakta. And what it was Gurudev came there, and with his cane, he like put it down into the soil of Lakta, And a mot sprung out from there, and with Guru Gauranga Radha Madhava Sundar too. So I like to remind everyone, that's the hidden treasure of Lakta, is that temple where I last saw Siddhanti Maharaj leaping into the air. But so what I mean to say is, so these great devotees, like we think, yes, they made these holy places, like Srila Prabhupada, all the places he went, Srila Gurudev, Srila Guru Maharaj. But we can also, if we look carefully, begin to see these qualities in our superior godbrothers, in our contemporaries. They have something special that they got by serving a proper Vaishnava. Because we're told, the Das Kori Beton Mori Deho Prema Dan. Just Siddhanti Maharaj, he didn't want to get anything from Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, or Gurudev. They gave him everything because he demanded nothing. He only wanted to serve. That's what pure devotion is. His only intention is to serve. No thought or consideration about himself. We're told, so, Das Kori Beton Mori Deho Prevanam. What is the result of that? The sort of devotion that is in the heart of the served appears in the heart of the servitor. And that's what we saw. And we didn't think of him like, you know, as an ontological scholar. But he was always working on this one book, you know, or for years, like this on his little computer and asking for some help from time to time, you know, but it was kind of like a secret project, you know. And finally it came out and he published it, and it was Religion of the Heart. And I remember being with Gurudev on his veranda in Calcutta in the final couple of months or so. And this book, Religion of the Heart, you know, Gurudev was asking me, what did I think about it? Because sometimes he mentioned other things, and I would say, oh, it's good. And he wants my, and he goes, oh, it's good. You know, like, he wasn't. But when this book came out, I was like, my jaw, I said, Maharaj, there are things in here that aren't in Chaitanya Charitamritam. And he said, I know. He said, how did he collect these things? We're both like sharing like joy and astonishment. And Gurudev could see, like, this book I was really impressed with. Not to say I wasn't with the others, but this one was like something very unique and special. And I found things in there that I couldn't find anywhere else. That's what I was saying. And of course, they were all from Srila Govindamars, so he was even extra happy to hear that. But he said, how could Siddhanti Maharaj? And I said, Maharaj, it means he knew all along what you have. He could, when you were giving something of this quality, he recognized it and collected it. And he extracted that and then published it. So he was there himself, like expressing astonishment at how wonderful this book was. And that was kind of Siddhanti Maharaj's, you know, magnum opus, crowning glory of the, a cap to all the service he'd done throughout his lifetime. And it appeared toward the end, and then it's all, and also in this regard, his love for Srila Gurudev was so much that it reminded me of when, I know Gurudev has said this about Rishabhdev Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. I'm not going to a whole thing about that, but this one aspect that Haridas Thakur did not want to witness Mahaprabhu's disappearance past times. That point. And I thought Siddhanti Maharaj would not have been able to withstand this. No one wants to experience that, but it would have been unbearably painful for him. And it was some sort of merciful gesture from Krishna and recognition of his guru bhakti and devotion to Srila Gurudev that few months before he left. So he didn't have to, he was saved from that. So it's my good fortune to be in many instances the object of his like love and affection, kindness. And he, whenever he sent me an email, there was, the subject line was always the same. It said, Haribo. And then he would type, every email I have, it says, Haribo. Or as he would sometimes say, Haribo. So, Haribo. And he would, Jai Srilapad Bhakti Premik Siddhanti Maharaj Tirubhavati Ti Ki Jai. And Keshavananda Prabhu Amiya, you could say, because you had some association, say a few words in praise of Siddhanti Maharaj. Beginning with Keshavananda.
Following on what you were saying, Maharaj, he was everybody's friend and looking out for everyone. I first came into, I was brought by my godbrother Vinod Bihari from Ireland. He collected uh-huh. me from across the river, brought me on the boat. And the first person I met coming into the mat was Chidananda Prabhu, as was sitting on a wall, eating a papaya.
He loved papaya.
More classic image of him. It couldn't have been really. Yeah. And I'm introduced as back to Simon to him. And his words, so you've come to stay here forever? And then I was fortunate to see him towards the end in Soquel. And one of my last memories was going with his brother to find papayas in Santa Cruz for him. Uh-huh. try to give some. And he was very nicely, all the devotees were so loving towards him and trying to look after him and make him comfortable in those last months. And Veera Chandra Prabhu was like his personal
assistant,
but everybody, all the devotees were coming and doing what they could, and he would get to that program no matter what. He was there for Mangal Arati, he was there in the evening, that was his life and soul really, was keeping those, singing those bhajans and hearing those scriptures and the life of the temple going on right to the end. So feeling so fortunate to remember him on this day. He was, you know, on the one hand, he was one of us. He was one of us.
Yes.
And then in another point of view, he was something so unique and special that we're bowing our heads towards that and on this day, remembering him.
Hare Krishna.
Amirji.
Amiya, come into the light.
Jyotir, it's better like these words.
Sadgamayo, you know. Follow the Vedas. The Vedas say, come out of the darkness into the light.
Actually, many times some devotees, they sometimes never met Siddhanti Maharaj, and sometimes I get to say something about him just between devotees, some talking, and you said everything. Because I heard you saying about Siddhanti Maharaj, and you just said it all. Really, it's just so, just perfect. Everything is there. So I really cannot add anything, and I just have some funny stories. I mean, there's one particular. And they all like this. It's just, we went in Siberia preaching with him, and you know what a Siberia is, so it's just nothing for the public. So, And we were doing this mana festival, rafting festival, where all the Siberian people getting together and just...
Is this the summer or the winter?
It's Siberia.
All right, so it's Siberia. It doesn't matter.
green winter.
Right.
Green winter. The white winter is much more cold. So, and it's just everybody's. They have these rafts and they're just trying to do the rafting, but everybody's just drinking liter after liter of vodka, and Siddhanta Maharaj is in the middle of it, and just like. Very humble, very merciful, just being part of everything, just without any
judgmental
anything. And he was so humble and so feeling like he didn't even have this idea like I'm better, I'm aspiring for something else. He was also sitting and thinking, oh, I'm thinking maybe next life also I will party like this. So like he was so humble. He wasn't feeling like he's higher or something like this. Mm-hmm. And he was observing everything. And one discovery he made, and he like we were doing some kirtan, and all the drunk Siberians, they wanted to participate, and he gave them some chance. And then all this was happening, and then he told me like his discovery. He said like, they are so drunk, they cannot move their eyeballs. Because when the people are very drunk, they can't move their head. They have to move the whole body.
To look.
Yes. This was like his discovery. So like, and then I looked and I understood actually they were all that drunk. And he was tolerating everybody very, very humbly, very sweetly, you can say, for days, because we were doing this rafting down the river and different, there's like maybe 100 of these different rafts, right?
Raft.
And they are rafting and they join together and they exchange some whatever they have, and they were giving prasadam and singing with everybody. It was very
Gurudev sweet. Watched the video of one raft program with Avadhut Maharaj many times. So he enjoyed seeing that.
That was maybe after.
Yes,
and the one
further
very
down
first
the river.
Maybe Siddhanta Maharaj went.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So that was very special. And then we went to some other more remote city in Siberia, and there was even more mess and even more like deep Siberian experience. Mm. So, but it was all very sweet, and somebody told that you should take the dust from Siddhanta Maharaj's feet to get the
Guru Bhakti.
Gurudev said, but you told that.
So we knew
that. So when he was sleeping in this, you know, the cheapest the cheapest train in Russia, the one that has no like AC class, like sleeping coach.
Uh-huh.
So he was sleeping. He's long, so his legs were coming outside. So everybody was
sleeping. Those fortunate souls.
And then it was all just very deep Siberian trip. Like we have this movie Chiang Mai deep trip, that was deep Siberian trip. And in this train, I saw it was like difficult for him, but I saw he was like sitting like this and he was praying. And I see like that meant something to me. Mm-hmm. How he was like taking, this was just like some madness going on, but he was taking it serious as his service, and he was praying to Gurudev that he let him do some service even in these circumstances. So actually that was a revelation. Many other things like this, but I don't want to spoil completely the class.
Sripad Dandi Maharaj, can you say a few words about Bhakti Premik Siddhanta Maharaj?
Well, I do not know. Maybe someone told already Russian devotees. Because there was a great story how Siddhanta Maharaj was traveling to Siberia with two translators and scuttle.
Can I tell this?
That time was not. No. That was two another translators. No problem.
I'm sure there's more than one.
Without names. There was two translators with him. And during this travel, he called Aut Maharaj and said, oh, we lost one translator, but no problem, we have another translator. then as train was going more and more into deepest part of Siberia, then in some city, maybe Norilsk, like something like this, second translator also left, and he called Aut Maharaj and he said, oh, second translator was lost, but no problem, I still continue to go for the mercy of Srila Gurudev. And then he came alone into this city, and no one knew English in the city. but Siddhanti Maharaj was sitting surrounded by guests, and he talked with them, and everyone understood everything. Everything he told, because there was very close heart-to-heart connection from one soul to the other souls, and there was no need for words, because Siddhanti Maharaj himself was embodiment of saintly of saintness and. Fully, completely, spiritually pure Vaishnava, pure saint, and everyone was very pleased with him.
Hare Krishna.
Then also he had no money, and he just visited some internet cafe, and he was just calling and officials and some workers around just let him call, and they were happy that he was called the internet cafe, and he was just using Skype, and he called, and then he said, oh, thank you very much. And they were so happy. Because he was in sannyasi dress, and everyone understood that he was monk.
Saintly person.
Completely saintly person. It was his qualities.
Yes.
And so many other stories about Siddhanti Maharaj, actually.
Once he went with Avadhut Maharaj to like Arctic Circle, or, you know, like high up in Siberia, they went one time where there's reindeer, and they put on like Christmas hat and then took a photo. And so you see, there's like reindeer, Avadhut Maharaj sit on here, they're wearing these Christmas hat, red hat with the white ball, and they sent it for the pleasure of Gurudev. And so we're seeing that and we're enjoying it very much. And there's this one Bengali guest there. And I'm saying, look at that, you know, like, look, they're, you know, he'd been to Russia. And I said, look, they're, you know, with reindeer and the, in the Arctic Circle practice, you know, whatever, like, and he goes, I've seen reindeer before. And I looked at him, I said, oh, really? I said, have you ever seen a reindeer with a sannyasi? No, that I have not seen. There's two sannyasi with reindeer in the North Pole. He goes, I've seen reindeer before. But we're waiting to board a flight in London, and it's that time where they start early boarding, and I'm like, you know, there's like 300 people, and I'm like, oh, and sit down to him, and I go, I'll see you. And I go, what are you doing? You know, and he pulls out an eye patch, a black eye patch, and pulls it over his eye and just walks on the plane. And all the flight attendants think, thank you, sir, you know. So sometimes people thought he would play as if he wasn't the brightest person or the he could play that to his advantage, but he was there actually extremely clever, extremely intelligent, and shrewd. But he allowed people to think that way. Hare Krishna. Anything else? But and Gurudev, he knew what he's like. He's, you know, we know sometimes he not represent things exactly properly. So one time Gurudev was talking about him, someone came and said, Siddhant, he just said this, that, and, you know, and like they were like upset or something. Gurudev said, to err is human, and he is very human. But it would all become adjusted, because I told him after he took sannyas, I said, Maharaj, he felt some pressure, we were preaching together, felt some pressure. I said, don't try, I quote slokas, and I said, don't try to be like me. I said, we all like you to be you. And I think that's the, as you are is who the devotees love and revere. So you don't need to change anything about, because he was feeling some pressure. He said, but now everything I say, everyone will, you know, like they'll be checking it, you know, to verify whether it's like accurate and true or not. And I said, Maharaj, if you just do what you've always done, which is like you speak from the heart about Gurudev, Guru Maharaj and Prabhupada, everyone will be happy and pleased. And that's the fact. He always brought that to the gathering. You know, a man of generous heart, which is really a reflection of the heart of Srila Gurudev. So it shows how much of Gurudev's heart transferred to him, that he was broad in his embrace of all the devotees. So it was our good fortune to have his association. However, now it seems like such a brief time, but and remembrance of him, we feel his presence, his association, and I really think of him as someone who achieved the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev. You know, I think sometimes I think of him and Vaishnava Maharaj, Srila Srabhu, that I thought, oh, they're with Gurudev now. They couldn't tolerate not his separation, so they left this world and they're in his current pastimes.